So far this week, there have been big swings in the financial markets all over the world. The markets in the United States have been reacting in part to the Standard & Poor's credit downgrade last Friday, but also worries about European debt. And joining me now for a look at those concerns and their impact on the European markets is Richard Milne, Capital Markets Editor for the Financial Times. I'm pleased to welcome him to today's first Backstory segment. Hi.
Hi there.
European markets were up slightly today before closing lower. Have they been going through the same kind of volatility we've been seeing in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a real roller coaster ride, hasn't it? I mean, if anything, actually, they've probably been doing worse. I was interested to hear the previous segment talking about bears. I mean, we've got bears in the markets here as well. German and French shares are down over 20%. That's definition of a bear market. So things aren't looking good on this side of the Atlantic.
Well, we've been having a kind of a roller coaster ride here. On Monday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 600 points. Tuesday, it was up 429 points. Yesterday, it was down 520 points. And at last check, it's up 354 points today.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say that the equity markets are good at telling you something, I'm not sure this week is really confirming that for you, is it? It's trying to understand what markets are telling you at the moment is very, very difficult.
Well, what do you think is going on here? Why up and down in this way? In the end, we're winding up pretty much where we started.
I mean, we're still down for the year. I guess there are two big worries in the U.S. I guess there's a thing about growth, and this week you had the Fed and whether they're going to embark on another QE, a round of buying assets. But I think actually when you speak to investors in the U.S. and in Europe, you know, the biggest problems are in Europe with the European debt crisis.
Did the Standard & Poor's decision to downgrade U.S. credit have any impact on the European markets?
I think it did. In the bizarre, you know, ever since the collapse of Lehman Brothers, there's always been this who's next question. I mean, you saw it then with the banks. And what happened with that U.S. downgrade is that you said, well, what's the next AAA-rated country to be downgraded? And the markets honed in on France. And, I mean, you saw some extraordinary events. You saw the Société Générale, which is the second largest bank, lose nearly a quarter of its value yesterday at one stage. The markets rallied this evening because there's talk at the moment about imposing a short-selling ban. We hear now at the Financial Times, we're hearing that regulators are discussing it this second. I mean, that is providing some support to markets, but, you know, that happened in the financial crisis as well and didn't seem to help things then, so...
Well, over the last year, we've talked about concerns over Greece, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Italy. How come France? So, what is it about the Société Générale that has led to it facing this kind of loss in confidence?
Well, the one thing on the banks is that they own a lot of debt in the countries you just mentioned. So, in fact, SocGen, they even have a Greek bank, but they just own a lot of debt in Italy. They own a lot of debt in Spain. So, you know, if there are going to be problems in these countries, these banks are going to take a hit. But beyond that, there's a feeling that, you know, France's finances, I mean, well, are in as bad a shape as many Western governments. I mean, you know, the governments have binged on cheap debt just as consumers did a few years ago. And, you know, there has to be some pain at some stage. So that's why markets are just getting a bit spooked.
Well, German banks also bought up a lot of Greek debt. Why haven't we seen something similar there?
It's a very good question. As I said about the market, they're not always entirely rational or logical. I mean, the banks generally in Europe have been getting hammered. It's just that the French banks and previously the Italian banks have been really singled out. And I think it is something to do with the sheer size of the French banks are the most exposed to Italy. And Germany's not that far behind, but, you know, French banks are in a slight league of their own.
There was a report yesterday, a Reuters report, that an Asian bank was thinking of cutting its line of credit to French banks. Is that one of the reasons that now people are wondering whether France's AAA credit rating will be downgraded?
I don't think there's a link between those two events. I think that's certainly behind some of the volatility in the market. I mean, there have been a lot of extreme rumors going around. I mean, actually, the most absurd rumor of all is that France would be downgraded, because all three rating agencies have made it very clear that they're not going to downgrade France, that they see France's rating as stable. Unsurprisingly, the French are, I wouldn't say are lashing out, but are starting to take some action. They're threatening to take legal action against anybody found of spreading false information. So, the regulatory response is being stepped up here.
Well, the Standard & Poor's downgrading of the U.S. credit has been criticized for spreading false information or being based on some inaccurate mathematics, but that doesn't seem to have stopped people from reacting, because this is really all about the psychology of the market, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, in some way, the market is just a confidence trick in a way. And, you know, if people lose confidence, and that's what you've seen over the past couple of weeks, you know, the falls can be precipitous. And that was one of the issues. And I don't think, in a way, what Standard & Poor's said about the U.S., I don't think anybody would necessarily disagree with what they said. It's just that it sort of, you know, it spelled it out in black and white, and it just had another impact on sentiment.
My guest is Richard Milne, capital markets editor for the Financial Times. We're talking about Europe's market volatility. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Was part of the effect of the Standard & Poor's downgrade on European markets mitigated by the move by the European Central Bank to buy up more Spanish and Italian debt on Monday? And didn't that continue into Tuesday?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's probably continued a little bit into today as well. In the Eurozone, they're a bit skeptical. We don't quite want to go for full QE like the Fed has done in the US. So it's a sort of slightly peculiar version of that. But this was a huge moment for Europe. I mean, you know, Italy is the third largest bond market in the world behind the US and Japan. It's the third largest country in the Eurozone. You know, to be buying its government debt, you know, sometimes you just got to stand back, and that's a kind of watershed moment for Europe. And that did stabilize markets a little bit, particularly, I mean, obviously Italian and Spanish debt markets. But I think overall there's still a feeling that European leaders just don't have a plan on how to really solve the debt problems.
Well, earlier this month, the Italian Prime Minister, Silvio Berlusconi, reassured the Italian Parliament about the underlying strength of the Italian economy and then dismissed Parliament for its summer recess. 6 days later, everyone was called back to Rome. Berlusconi unveiled a package of austerity measures to cut €48 billion from the budget deficit. Was that too little, too late for investors? And what's going on here? One day he's saying there's no problem, and then he's saying we're cutting €48 billion.
Well,
is that just typical Silvio Berlusconi?
A little bit. I mean, he also blamed those evil speculators, which, you know, when politicians start blaming speculators, there's something wrong. I mean, as an aside, a U.S. official said to me that, you know, he was talking about the five stages of grief, you know, anger, denial, and so on. He said in Europe there's a sixth stage. It's called vacation. And you saw that yesterday going back to France. You know, Nicolas Sarkozy, the president there, summoned back his ministers for an emergency meeting from holiday. You know, I mean, holiday in August is a sacred right in the Eurozone. So these are important. It says something that they're being called back. But, yeah, with Italy...
But Berlusconi is a businessman. I mean, how can he complain about speculators?
I think, you know, I have to be careful what I say about Mr. Berlusconi, but he's not all, you know, I think investors put their faith in other ministers in his government. But, let's put it like this. So, I mean, the fact about Italy, though, is that they've had a huge debt stock for a long time, and they've managed it very well. So, but the problem is, whenever you have debt, you know, there is this confidence trick with investors, and if investors lose confidence in you, and you keep on needing to issue more and more debt, you're going to run into problems. So that's what they've tried to stem. That for the moment, it appears to have worked. But you know, I think markets will test them again very, very soon.
Well, politicians both here and in Europe have been trying to paint a rosier picture about the pace of economic recovery than what appears to be the real case. Do you see a credibility problem emerging?
Absolutely. I think when I speak to a lot of investors, and I think there's a general feeling that this current crop of politicians and central bankers are a pretty poor one. Now, whether that's justified, I don't know. I personally, I do wonder how much there is. I mean, the simple fact is there's been a sort of game of pass the parcel with debt that's kind of gone from companies that exploded in the sort of Enron WorldCom era. Then it got passed to likes of you and I, consumers, and then to banks, and now it's ended up in governments. And, you know, like in pass the parcel, you take off the last layer, there it is. I mean, there's nobody else to pass it on to now, really. So, you know, the government is going to be a painful time. You know, it's going to take time for governments to get rid of this debt, and it's probably going to mean that economic growth, you know, for 5-10 years is going to be lower than we would have liked and we've experienced in the past. And I think everybody's only just waking up to the what that means.
Well, Germany has been somewhat reluctant to continue bailing out the troubled Eurozone economies. Are there signs that that attitude has softened with this week's events?
I don't think so, but I mean, I think the general feeling about Germany is it sort of says, no, okay then. you know, it delays until the last possible moment and then agrees to a bailout. I mean, I think that most people believe that Germany is really the big winner of the euro. I mean, it would have an incredibly strong currency. I mean, if you just look at Switzerland, which probably has the strongest currency in the world right now, having enormous difficulty because of that. It seems to be, you know, double the value of what it should be. And people say that Germany would be the same. So, you know, they've got this huge interest in being in the euro, but they, you know, they don't want to commit to anything too radical. It's, you know, in Europe, we do everything sort of very gradually, almost a sort of glacial pace, but, you know, you don't look to us for kind of radical action.
In this country, it's total stalemate. Maybe that's better.
Yeah, you can never tell on those kind of things, can you? I used to live in France, and they had this thing called cohabitation, where they had a socialist prime minister and a conservative president, and all the elite hated it, but I think the people really liked it. You know, there's something about stalemate or coalition that people often seem to like.
Yeah, they feel that both sides are keeping checks on the other. In reality, it just means you can't move. There are reports today that Europe is considering a ban on short selling. Is that an attempt to slow down a tailspin in the markets?
That is the attempt. I mean, that's certainly what we're hearing. The FT, that there's a call of regulators going on right now.
Will that work?
Well,
is short selling
so.
the big villain here?
No, absolutely not. And I mean, I've spoken to 3 or 4 professors this afternoon who've all done studies about the bans that the US and the UK and others put in place after the collapse of Lehman Brothers, and they all say the same thing. They didn't work. In fact, they may have made things worse. And so, you know, if people don't like a company or don't like shares, they're still going to go down, even if you take away these short sellers, which are, you know, is essentially just a sort of a way of betting against a share without actually owning it.
Greece put a 2-month ban on short selling earlier this week after their stock market hit 14-year lows.
Absolutely. Well, and Turkey's done the same today. I mean, the rumors are that, you know, Italy and France and maybe Spain are also talking about it right now. There are already ban of a certain type of short selling where you don't actually own the shares. That's already the case in Italy, Germany and Spain. So, you know, there has been action on this front, but you know, share prices have still been going down, and I think sometimes it sort of smacks a bit of panic, and you know, isn't something really bad going on. So,
well, in this country, a lot of people are buying gold. Is that happening in Europe as well?
Absolutely, gold is, in fact, a favorite investor of mine says that that gold, you know, if gold's at a record, it suggests that trust in governments is at a record low, and you know, I think you see a sign of that it really is. You know, when you see some things like QE from the Fed and the European Central Bank buying up the debt, you know, how much faith can you have in some of these currencies? And so, you know, a lot of people are skeptical about gold as well, but it just keeps on going up and up and up.
Well, what's the alternative if you can't afford gold? Investing in the Swiss franc?
Well, you'd have taken a tumble today. It's fallen sort of 4 or 5%. So it's, I don't know. I don't enjoy giving out investment advice because my own investment advice doesn't tend to work very well. But I mean, I think it's a market where, you know, you can find reasons against everything in a way, and I mean, it's a kind of an ugly contest in a way. You know, there's a lot of things that look very, very expensive. There are some things that look a bit cheap, but you could imagine them becoming a lot cheaper. And you know, that's my kind of feeling on the stock market. You know, I mean, it could easily fall.
Well, everybody
quite a bit more.
Everybody seems to be coming up with a strategy. Part of Tuesday's market rally here in the United States was because the Federal Reserve announced that it would keep interest rates extremely low until 2013. Have the European
Is that
Central
a good thing, though?
Well, I don't know.
They suggest they're doing it because you know, they think the economy, they know the economy is going to be weak for at least another 2 years. I mean, you know, I can see you can take that message both ways. You can say, you know, it's bad because the economy is going to be bad for so long, or you can say, well, look, you know, I mean, you're going to earn nothing if you hold cash, so you have to buy something. And, you know, do you want to buy US treasuries when they're giving you a record low rate? Maybe not. So
but it's supposedly supposed to be encouraging business to borrow to warm up the economy, but it hasn't been happening.
I don't see that. I mean, if I were a chief executive right now, I mean, I wouldn't be spending any money. I don't think I'd be hiring people either. You've got no confidence. People are talking about whether a recession is coming or slow growth. I mean, you've got no visibility about what's coming.
Well, on that happy note, I'm going to end this conversation.
So, sorry for being so gloomy.
I was looking for tips. I was hoping to maybe find a way to invest a couple of bucks. Richard Milne is the capital markets editor for the Financial Times. Thank you so much for talking with us today on Backstory.